I have a timely resource for a very specific group of you. If you remember listening to episode 51, How to Use Your School Counseling Skills in Private Practice, you'll remember my friend and former colleague, Lorraine Holman. Lorraine set out to start her own private practice and now wants to teach you why you should and how to open your own viable private practice as a licensed professional counselor. Join Lorraine at a live 2-day virtual private practice workshop for school counselors. This 4.5-hour training will cover LPC licensure steps, private practice documentation essentials, developing your niche and ideal client, maximizing your profit, marketing for beginners, and essential mindset shifts from school counseling to private practice. You'll walk away from this workshop with the tools and confidence that you need to launch your private practice as a full-time or part-time option. Register today for this paid workshop. Space is limited to 15 school counselors and it costs $259. I'm a huge fan of Lorraine and the work that she's doing as an LPC supervisor and a former high school counseling department head. Head back to episode 51 to hear more about her story, but more importantly, if you have a tug to learn more about the practicalities of moving into private practice, I want you to head to counselorclick.com/private practice to learn more and sign up. That's counselorclick.com/private practice, and I hope you'll get to learn from Lorraine at the live workshops on June 7th and June 15th. Today, I'm talking with Rachel from Bright Futures Counseling about job interviews. We did an episode together way back in the humble beginnings of high school counseling conversations, episode 20, and y'all love that, and you still do. So here's another episode complimentary to that, like on a similar topic. Even if you're not interviewing right now, I think this would be a good episode to keep in your back pocket or just listen in case you're just being a little nosy and you want to hear some of our thoughts on the do's, the don'ts, the advice, the weird things that happen in job interviews. I think you'll really enjoy it. We're airing our conversation on both of our podcasts, so head on over if you want to check out her podcast as well. I mean, the same episode will be on both of them, but her podcast is called School Counseling Simplified. I'll link it in the show notes if you're looking for another school counseling podcast to add to your lineup. She really talks to elementary school counselors, but I think you'll find that some of her episodes overlap with you as high school counselors as well. Listen in as we chat advice for different seasons and situations that you might be applying for jobs in, some sample scripts for what we'd say with some certain tough situations and questions, and just a lot of randomness around job interviews like resumes, first and second interviews, reapplying to the same job, and considering jobs that sometimes seem adjacent to school counseling just to get your foot in the door. I know you're going to love all the things that we chat about in this week's episode. You got into this profession to make a difference in your students' lives, but you're spread thin by all of the things that keep getting added to your to-do list. I can't create more hours in the day, but I can invite you into my Counselor Click, where you'll finally catch your breath. Come with me as we unpack creative ideas and effective strategies that'll help you be the counselor who leaves a lifelong impact on your students. I'm Lauren Tingle, your high school counseling hype girl, here to help you energize your school counseling program and remind you of how much you love your job. Hey, Rachel, I'm excited to chat with you about job interviews. Since the last time we did an episode, it was really fun. We got to talk about kind of the whole spectrum of interviewing for jobs and what that entails with some mock questions. And now we're back with some more questions because people love that episode.
I know people do love that episode. And it's so good to talk to you. We were just catching up off air because we're just friends and I love chatting with you.
And we both just showed up like, let's just see how it goes. prepared things. So I love it.
Exactly. But no, I love this topic too. It's so funny. I was actually had you in mind because for May, I'm focusing on like wrapping up the school year, interviews, things like that. And I had in my notes like, Lauren Tingle, interview nightmares? ? Like, I thought that would be like a fun, like, talk about
the
like,
horror stories of interviewing.
Yeah.
That would be a great crowdsourced episode if people were to like share their embarrassing moments or the ones that went wrong, or like, if you wish you could go back in time, what would you do?
Ooh, let's do that for next year. That's great. Yeah. Have you done a crowdsourced episode?
I did a spooky counseling stories like around Halloween one year. And Rachel, that one was so funny. People Some people were embarrassed to like put their voice to it. So they sent me messages and I read them. And then some people did voice notes and they were, I mean, it was everything from like some serious things, but some like really funny, like bathroom stories. Oh, and I was laughing out loud, like reading people's. So if you need a laugh, you go back and you listen to that one.
That's so fun. I am trying to do a episode like that now, crowdsourced one. I have been asking people to send me like a voice memo and it was for their advice for news or for interviews. So I'm going to compile that for this month too. So hopefully if you're listening, send this in because I feel like it's hard to get people to send them in. They're like nervous. So I'm like, anything's fine. Like 2 minutes, just what you would tell a friend.
Yes. It's hard to get people to do it, but when they do, it's really valuable.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Well, let's get in. You sent a lot of talking points here. We're basically just going to be giving advice for some different scenarios. The first one I think is like perfect for you. It's about what advice would we give a counselor who's coming back from an extended maternity leave and you just had a baby?
Yeah, I think in my mind, I always thought if you leave the school setting, it would be so hard to go back or people wouldn't understand or there'd be this big gap on your resume. And after I had my first child and I went back to working in the school, I thought, wow, like here's a whole community of a lot of people who have had kids who are now back in the school system or never took time off or whatever that was. So whether it's like a maternity leave or you've taken years off, I think there's some encouragement. Like you can go back and a lot of schools are like heavily female, you know, there's a lot of females in the school working there. And so I felt a lot of community around me of like, hey, you can do this or it's hard. And you're now splitting time between two roles of being a mom and being a counselor, but you can do it. And I also thought like I would lose all skills if I like took time out. But I think that stuff just comes back to you. It's like riding a bike. Like you would know what to do. You know, of course, I'm sure there'd be like technical, like software things that you needed to learn or like things going on in the district that you needed to learn. But like you have the basic interactive human relational skills that you've always had. And I think you could just jump back in.
Yeah, that's so encouraging to hear. I also think it's probably refreshing just to be around other adults and like, you know, back in the work atmosphere. I feel like sometimes when you're, you know, with a new baby at home, you're just kind of isolated. And so you're probably making the best out of it. You can look forward to it, being around adults again.
Yeah. And what do you think though, like when someone, a principal looks at a resume and sees a gap on there, like, do you volunteer that information? Do you wait for them to be like, what were you doing during that time? Do you put on your resume? I'm not kidding you. I've seen this on a resume, like CEO of the Tingle household. Like, no, you don't need, I don't think on a resume you need to say like you're your household manager.
Yeah, I think you could mention it, you know, when they're like, tell us a little bit about who you are, you could mention it like in your story, but I wouldn't be self-conscious about it. I mean, like you said, there's tons of women in the field and I think people understand and everyone working in education values children, right? So
yeah, like, okay, I've just been spending time with some younger ones and now I'm trying to get back in the high school setting or, you know, if you're elementary. You've already been working with like a younger developmental stage. So you're ready to jump back in.
Exactly. Yeah. I would play into how it's a strength and how you're looking forward to coming back. And I also think it's important if you are coming back from a big break of any kind, seeing what slipped through the cracks, but like it was okay that it slipped through the cracks. Like sometimes we're paranoid, especially if you're training someone to take over your position and you like want them to do it exactly like you were doing it. But I think just kind of see how they do it and then see, you know, use it as a reflection tool on how you can change. What did they do well that you can now integrate? What can you let go? Things like that.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. What about someone coming right out of grad school who's going into their first set of job interviews? Like they're probably so nervous, losing their mind. Like, what do you tell them? What's like your pep talk for them?
Oh gosh, I would just tell them to bring the enthusiasm because I feel like as grad school students, you often have like a lot of enthusiasm. You're like fresh and learning everything. And maybe they're replacing a position where someone was kind of burnt out and you can bring new perspective. What you lack in experience, I think you can bring in like enthusiasm and work ethic and willing to try new things. And then really lean into your internship experience. I know I learned so much in my internship experience. So if you're still interning, you know, try to ask to do as many things as possible, a big variety, whether you're doing class lessons, small groups, individual parent meetings, organizing workshops, like the counselor I worked with, she even had me doing like a flash mob with we cooperate.
Okay, I've add that to my list. I've done a flash mob.
It was so funny. Yeah, we did it in my internship, and then everyone loved it. So I did it my first year as a counselor. I was like, well, I'm going to do that too. We're going to do a flash mob. So just like even the crazy stuff, I think leaning into it all. And then I think storytelling is really powerful. So even if you're really nervous in an interview and you're thinking it's just going to be like question, answer, try to think of how you can just tell a story about like an awesome experience that you had. That'll make you memorable and it'll likely help you calm down when you're mm-hmm. sharing experiences.
Yeah. And I think if you leave that first or second interview and you're like, oh, I wish I had a better answer for that, or I wish I had a story for that, go back to your internship site and say, okay, now I need to reflect. Like, who is that student who I've been working with where I have found a win? Or ask your supervisor, hey, that time that you gave me feedback, or when was the time that you gave me feedback? Can you like remind me of a way that I've grown? Like, ask for that good stuff, that hard stuff, and reflect on it. So you're going to be in a whole season of doing interviews, most likely, like not getting the first one. So write down those questions and the ones that you wish you had better examples for, and then take some time to come up with a story to tell for that.
100%. Yeah. Two things that come to mind. So I actually, just kind of a tangent, but my dad works for Delta Airlines. So that is why I love travel. And I actually interviewed to be a flight attendant there, and I got the job, but I turned it down because I was in grad school and I decided to pursue school counseling, which I think
what a fun story.
Yeah. But it was the most fun interview I've ever done. There was actually a flash mob there too, to like the Pharrell Happy song. And it was
like in the interview?
In the interview. It was like,
because they like want to see what you're going to do?
Yeah, it was like a group interview. It was intense. It was very fun though. It was like a sorority recruitment.
That's
like
funny.
That's the only thing I can compare it to. It was like chatting with different people. And half the time you were chatting with like undercover people that you thought were also interviewing. That worked there. And like, it was crazy. Really fun. But two of the questions they asked were, they asked for very specific scenarios. And I had never been in an interview like that before. But they were like, tell me about a time where you had a struggle and like what you did to overcome it. Or tell me about a time that this happened. And so just being able to pull stories like that from your back pocket, I think is really helpful. And also, I was writing a letter of recommendation this week for our former nanny because she's getting another job. So I was happy to write her a letter of recommendation. And I went into Canva because I was like, oh, I'll make it pretty, you know, instead of just like a Google Doc. And with AI and everything now, there's so many prompts. I was like, this is the easiest letter ever. It was like, write about a time when this person like overcame something, or, and I was like, oh, okay.
And like pulling from your own bank of stories, that's like a way to be confident. Like, you're just telling about your experience. You don't have to like put together this really formal, these are my strengths and weaknesses. Like, give an example of it where you can just speak from your experience.
Right. Love that. Yeah. I think that's some great advice. Okay. This next one. What about advice for someone who hated their last job?
Yeah. I think that what a question that can catch you off guard if you haven't really thought about it. Like, you're applying for a new job because you hate the people you work with, or you hate your principal. How do you honestly say you're leaving there? You know, you just don't want to like come off. You don't really want to be that truthful, I guess, about that. So, I mean, you gotta think about that before you go in there and what you would say of like why you're leaving. I mean, but they don't have to know. Maybe you want to be closer to your house and you want less of a commute. Or, you know, if you're going from elementary to high school, like you just want a change of scenery with a different age students that you work with. I mean, I just think like come up with something so that the first thing you think of is not, well, I just want to get out of here. I'll go anywhere else. What do you think?
I think I agree. I think a reoccurring theme we're seeing here is to be prepared. So to have have your, you know, answer in your pocket of why you're leaving, focus on the positive things about that job, but maybe make it something about, you know, you're looking to grow in a new position or expand or new experiences, or you feel like you've, you know, served that community well and you're looking for a different one, or I don't know. You can
because you very well could be leaving because of all of the negative things. Like, I hope you're getting out of that situation and finding a new job, but you better be prepared so that that's not the thing that you think of to answer when they ask you.
Right. Definitely. You kind of touched on this a second, but like someone coming from a different level. So for this one, do you mean, are we thinking like elementary to middle or middle to high?
Yeah, I think I hear people saying that almost they feel insecure. Like, I've been a counselor, but I've never been in the high school before. And I really, I do want to experience it. And I think I'd be good at it, but the only experience I had was maybe in my practicum where I did 100 hours 8 years ago, you know, and I don't know that I would really know what I was doing, but I want to do it. So how do you maybe combat that imposter syndrome of like, I won't be good at it. I don't know what to do. And then how do you like convince someone that your elementary experience could be used in this different setting or something?
Right. I would almost do like a little Venn diagram and see where the overlap is. So, you know, working with parents, doing school-wide events, anything that would work for both settings and talk about those strengths. But also think about it as if you're a first-year counselor right out of grad school, you would have never worked anywhere. So it's kind of like that. So just because you've never worked in that setting before doesn't mean that you're not able to do a great job there. So I would just, yeah, reflect on what your strengths are, what you have learned, all that enthusiasm, what you can bring to this setting, and then also see where overlap lies with your experiences. I even did this my first year because I hadn't been a school counselor before, but I had previous job experience working with like adults with developmental disabilities or as an academic specialist at this educational consulting company. So I talked about how there was some overlap between school counseling and those things. So I just think draw from the experiences that you do have.
Yeah. And everyone's experiences can be unique, or they are unique. It's just how do you sell them? And like, where do you pull out those qualities that they're looking for? Like, someone might look at your background like that and be like, wow, we don't have a counselor who like specializes in or has that experience working with particularly students with disabilities. Like, wow, that would be a huge addition to our department that we don't have someone like that right now. So you never know what your background, your experiences, even like an old part-time job would bring into a setting. So just reflecting and being able to like look at your life experiences, your full-time jobs, your part-time jobs, your strengths, and be able to bring that into the setting, because they don't know you, they don't know anything about you. And so if you can compile those things and really sell them, I mean, you're going to sell yourself in an interview.
Right. I even think unrelated jobs are related. Yeah. Like I was telling my friend yesterday, she doesn't have children and she went to the grocery store with me and I had both my sons, 2 or 3.5 and 1.5. So it's crazy. Like in the grocery carts here, they don't have the double seater kind like they have in the States. So my older son has to ride with the food, he calls it, like in the big car. We like bury him. It's funny. But anyway, she was like, wow, this is like intense. Like you're just like doing so much. And I was like, I used to work as a server at like a barbecue restaurant in high school and college. And it reminds me of that. Like someone always needs you. They're like, we're out of water over here. Like, can you do that? You're like putting out fires all the time. And I feel like being a mom is very similar to that job, like fast paced and in the moment. I'm like not at my computer at all. You know, nothing like super organized or intellectual about it. It's just like responding.
Yeah. Well, and even like tying that back, like if you've been on a maternity leave, like you have learned some skills from dealing with your own children and responding to needs and putting out fires that I know that you're going to take into being a school counselor that are going to serve you well.
100%. And the next kind of bullet point we were going to talk about, kind of a segue, is advice for someone who has gone to a lot of interviews but hasn't gotten a job yet. And it can be easy to compare yourself to the other candidates. And you're like, especially if you see them like in the waiting room, I don't ever know if that's you. And you're like sizing up everybody. And you're thinking like, wow, man, I bet they've worked at a lot of other schools or they probably are bringing these other experiences. But you have to remember that you too have experiences, even if they're not directly in school counseling or directly in that setting.
Mm-hmm. And I just think of when I would like ask for feedback, like why I didn't get the job, or, you know, that is a scary thing to ask anyway, but because I would feel like, okay, I think I did a good job in that interview. Like, I wonder if they have any feedback for me. I can't tell you how many times they're like, sorry, we just picked someone with more experience. And that was so frustrating to go to interview after interview. But my words of encouragement for people are always, like, wait it out for the job that, I mean, the job that picks you is the job that wants you, and it's the perfect job for you. Because just from being on the other side of it and working with a team, sometimes we were looking for a brand new person, like who didn't have experience, who was just going to come in with energy and ideas. And then sometimes we were looking to fill a role of somebody who had lots of experience because we needed them to jump in right away and just like put their head down and work because they'd already worked in our district before, because they'd already led other people. Like, we might be looking for a team player or a follower. Like, we just need someone to like fill this role and jump in with us. Or we might be looking for a leader to lead the team because that person's not here anymore. Or like, just because you are this one type of counselor or this one type of experience does not mean that there is not a spot for you somewhere.
Right.
It's time to level up your confidence for your upcoming high school counseling interviews and help you secure the job of your dreams. When you sign up for my free 3-day video challenge, you'll get a few short videos to watch on your own time. These will come to your inbox over the course of 3 days to help you prepare for your next high school counseling interview. Join the hundreds of other school counselors who have gone before you and watched these same videos. I think I legally can't guarantee that they'll get you the job, but they'll sure as heck make the interviews feel more approachable. Grab my free job interview video series by going to counselorclick.com/interviews. Now, back to the show.
This is a fun one. You mentioned a social media presence.
Yeah, I think this is just something to, now we're kind of like moving away from just like our bullet points of advice and thinking, I just want to like chat some things about interviews because being on like the inside of it, I am curious if you have had this experience too. When you see someone's resume, do you go like look them up online and like look for who they are and like what they're posting and stuff? I would say like if I have a stack of resumes and I need to eliminate, you know, like I even can eliminate by looking at the resumes or whatever, I'm probably going to go find someone on social media and like see what they're all about.
Yeah, at least like Googling them, trying to find their LinkedIn, anything. Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
And so it's just something to consider. Like, you know, you don't want to judge a book by its cover, but like if given the opportunity and we need to eliminate some people, I might eliminate the person who is like, I don't know, wearing something seductive in their profile picture.
Right,
like when you're applying for a job, yeah. You just got to be aware of like who could be looking at your stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's such a good reminder. How do you feel about people who have like a counselor specific Instagram? Like obviously you and I do, because this is kind of a business for us as well. But yeah. I know someone, like my friend is a school counselor and she has a blog and Instagram just for fun to share like what she's up to, you know, to inspire others.
I think that would be so cool. I would see that and be like, wow, they care about this profession. They're sharing ideas. It would be like a little mini interview without them even knowing, or like you, if you have that, it'd be like kind of a place to showcase what you're doing and probably a way to bring that into an interview setting. Like I bet if it's public, it's something that you're proud of and right. You can pull from. So I wouldn't go all that way just to do it just to get a job. But if it right. was like a thing that was helping me anyway, I might as well like share it right. or make sure it's out there.
Right. No, I agree. I think it shows, yeah, that you like are really passionate about your job and
yeah. And I mean, y'all know this, if you're like connecting with other counselors on social media, it's helpful like to be asking right. these questions and be connecting with people. And as you're heading into the job interview process and just like hearing from people. So you're probably already in that world.
Okay. What else are you thinking?
Okay. If you saw a resume, is there anything on it that you would be like, throw this in the trash? We don't need to interview this person because it says this on it.
Any typos for sure. Like if you didn't put any effort there, I'm trying to think of content wise, something that it would say.
Well, I think people like, it's hard. You got to have somebody else read your resume and see like, how does it sound? What does it look like? Cause our eyes sometimes miss really easy typos. But again, if there is a major typo on there or like the formatting is weird and it's hard to read or like just basic looking at it kind of stuff. As a counselor, you're communicating with people all the time. If you cannot spell things correctly and you're like emailing parents and stuff, that's kind of a red flag to me.
How do you feel about resume paper?
Like, I don't care.
I remember I was like so broke and I would go to Best Buy and buy like the $20 resume paper.
I remember going to a big job fair in our area and I mean, like sweating because I realized like last minute I hadn't printed it on resume paper. And same thing, I was like running to Staples to like print it on something. I'm like, they probably put that in a box somewhere and maybe didn't even look at it.
It reminds me of Elle Woods, you know, Legally Blonde. She's like, it's painted.
Yeah, I guess if you're going to do that and leave it memorable for them, then yes, the paper, the scent of it is so important.
Is there anything for you that's like a red flag on a resume content?
I mean, because I care about like progressing this profession and having a comprehensive school counseling program and using the ASKIN model, that kind of stuff. If somebody says that they are looking for a position as a guidance counselor, I'm like, we're not the same. We're not the same people. you know, and maybe they've been a counselor for a really long time and that was the language you used a really long time ago. But to me, that doesn't show that you are on top of what the trends are in the profession. Like, we don't call ourselves that anymore. So maybe it's time to update the resume.
Right. I think that's great. That's a really good point.
And you'd be surprised at like how many you would see like that.
Yeah. Just rinsing and repeating what they've been using. Maybe that.
And it's hard if the like listing on the district website still calls it guidance counselor or something. I think you still have the freedom to call it school counselor on your resume because I might not have control over that job listing that's on there, even though like I'm going to have control interviewing the people or something. So that might just be like a statewide name that's in a computer somewhere that hasn't been updated or has to go through legalities to get it changed. But the people really doing the interviews should know that they want a school counselor.
Right. I agree. I even at my job at the international school here in Costa Rica, they had still were calling it guidance counselor. And I like asked for the title to be changed, like even on my little door placard and everything, because it's important. Okay. I love this one. You put on here about, are you willing to work outside of normal contracted hours?
I know that's a question that I've seen before. And I'm like, no, I'm not willing to, but like, what do I say?
Right. Yeah. That's so tricky. I had Laura Filtness on my podcast recently. She was talking about setting professional boundaries. Enthusiasm, as new counselors are oftentimes so eager to say yes and be like people pleasers with good intentions, but then they kind of don't have these boundaries and then it keeps getting pushed. So that is something important to discuss beforehand. Yeah, maybe just saying how you're confident that you can get your job done within the amount of time that you need to, and just like the nature of our profession that you need to make sure that you're allowing time to decompress. I don't know. What would you say?
Yeah, I like using that as like maybe this role is different from an administrator or a teacher in that some of the stuff that we are talking to students about is really heavy. And honestly, like I need to go home and not think about that stuff. In the high school setting, there are a lot of evening things like a FAFSA workshop or, you know, a college night where people, admissions reps are traveling from somewhere and they're putting on an event or curriculum nights. Like there are a lot of things on the calendar that you just kind of know that are going to be there. Like part of me is like, what if that was a trick question of like there are counselors in the interview and they're like, can this person set boundaries? It's probably not. It's probably like, how much can we get out of this person?
Right.
Will they be at every evening event that we have? I think I would still say, like, personally, it would be really hard for me with young kids to be like, yes, I can make sure my husband's home so that I can get to the school. And, you know, that would be really challenging. I think I would say, like, as long as we are being team players and I know about stuff far enough in advance, then I'm willing to be there for a presentation or to help with the slides for something. Like, I will be a team player because I don't think it's going to be all day, every day. But like, I'm probably going to have to leave on time to go pick up my kids or, you know, you set those things that are non-negotiables for you. But I think you can be a team player without overexerting yourself or like you don't have to be the person who is there all the time. And if that's what they're looking to hire, like maybe that's not the position for you then. And I think you can be honest about that.
Right. That's so true. That's a good one. Has anyone ever asked you that in an interview?
Not like phrased like that, but I think I'm trying to think of like different ways that they would have phrased it that would have kind of led to that. And I don't think that we would have ever hired anyone knowing, oh, this is going to be our person who does all the evening time things. Right. Like that's not fair. And I think we all felt the same way of like a big team of people, like eight counselors, you will not have to be at all of them, but like you might have to be at one or two of them, or you might have to be at the back to school night, but there's like value in that. Like I get to see all of my students there or whatever. And you know, that's part of like working at a school too. Some of those events, everyone at the school is working at it. So there's going to be like times where you can't do it and you communicate that. And then there's going to be times when you can, and you're fine to take one for the team because you like being there with the people that you work with.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay. What about if you interview for your dream job and you don't get it, and then you see that they post the job again, like months later, and you're like, well, if they didn't like me then, should I apply again? Like, what do you do?
I would apply again.
Me too.
I like this question. But if it's my dream job, of course I would apply again. Maybe, hopefully, you ask for some feedback from the first time and you can use the feedback to make You know, if you get the interview again, do your interview better. But if not, your resume better. You could even put in, like, if you're doing a cover letter, include, you know, hey, this is my dream job. I think I'm great for this position for these reasons. I applied back here. You know, like, I wouldn't try to, like, hide that back or be sneaky about it. Just reference that you really think you're the perfect fit for this and you're excited to see that it's open again.
Yeah. And you never know, like, why it's open again. Like, maybe they legitimately had a second position open, like somebody else decided they weren't coming back. And so it's not even like, hey, the first one didn't work out, or that person we chose over you didn't work out, but right. maybe it's just another opportunity. And maybe you were number two and we didn't have that.
Yeah. You could have been second choice. Yeah. That's so good.
And you can't, I would say the same thing as you, like, don't be like, oh, they either assume they don't remember you or, you know, assume that there was like something negative about why you didn't get it, even if like you never touch base with them after. Just apply again and see what happens.
I think it's so funny how your high school counselor brain works first mine, because you're like, oh, there might have been a second position. I'm like, what? We have one counselor for three. That's so funny.
Okay. What about, would you take a job even though it's not your dream job?
Ooh. Yes, I think so, because this is what happened to me. So my first year, graduated grad school in like May, and then really wanted to land a job my first year. I'm interviewing, didn't get one. A position for a guidance tech comes up. It was at the school that I did my internship at with the flash mob counselor. Loved working with her, loved the school, already know the kids, but it's part-time and they were looking for someone just to do like character ed, like just tier one. That's why I was like guidance tech. I don't know. And I was like, no, I need a full-time job, like for the money and benefits and stuff. I can't take a part-time job right now. So I said no. And then ended up doing that academic specialist job, which I was horrible. I hated it so much. But my like friend, best counselor friend from grad school took it, because she was like a server doing some other part-time job. So she's like, I'll do part-time this, part-time other thing. And then it ended up becoming a full-time position.
Mm-hmm.
So yes and no. I feel like I wish I would have done that, because I mean, I'm happy she got it, like if anyone did, but there is room for growth. And then you can like get your foot in the door sometimes if it's not your like ideal. But if it's at a school or something that you don't think is going to be a good fit, then no, I would not do it.
I think you can ask those kind of questions too. Like mm-hmm. just because you see it's part-time doesn't mean it's always going to be part-time. Like they might have hopes of increasing those hours, or, you know, 0.8 or something like that, that it's worth asking, applying for and having a conversation. My first job, that was my job the whole time as a counselor, started out as 0.5. It was part-time. Mm-hmm. And same thing. I was like coming out of grad school. So I was like working some part-time jobs and stuff. And, you know, that totally depends on your season of life. Like, can you make it work? I think I was like still on my parents' insurance because I wasn't 25 right. yet. Like I could make it work if I needed to. And I got hired. It was part-time. And the principal said, hey, my hope is that this is going to be full-time come 2 months into school, when kind of like the numbers shake out or whatever.
Right.
It has to do with student attendance and how many spots you have like allocated and stuff. And I really felt like that was my opportunity to prove, hey, when you get another part-time, you know, allocation, like I want you to allocate it to me to be full-time. So I was like trying to prove myself those first couple of months, because I wanted to be the one he gave the rest of that to, because I'm sure there were other people at the school who he could have done that for, or created a part-time position for test coordinator or something. Like I was like, this is the role I want. I want to be at this school. So when he sent me an email that said like, see me, I was so scared. I was like, oh, he's going to say he doesn't even need me here anymore. But instead it was, hey, this job turned into full-time, which was exciting.
Yeah, that's so great. So yeah, I mean, and honestly, even if it's not your like dream job, there's experiences to mm-hmm. be had and things you can learn. I don't know. For me, I was just like, it was difficult to find a job and I wanted to be a school counselor so bad. So I was like willing, I feel like, to take a lot of stuff, but I didn't think about the part-time turning into full-time. And I was like, oh, in retrospect, I probably should have done that.
Yeah. And like you said, like an academic specialist, like there are other kinds of like roles that are adjacent that, you know, maybe it's the graduation coach and you work with school counselors and they want a school counseling certified person to be in that position, but they're just calling it something different. So like, don't be afraid to broaden your search. Don't just do like the drop down on the district website for school counselor or guidance counselor. Like look up vocational things or look at career centers, or mm-hmm. just like kind of get creative with what you're searching and looking for.
Yeah, that's so true. Okay. Let's do like two more. What do you think?
Okay. Yep. Sounds good. What about like a first interview versus a second interview? Like people get really nervous when they get called back for a second interview. They're like, what questions are they going to ask me? Why are we doing a second interview? Have you ever been a part of like different rounds of interviews? And what was that like?
Oh, that's so good. I think I only did a second interview once. My job that I ended up getting was a one interview kind of thing. It actually happened really fast. It's so funny because the other ones were like follow up and I was sending like handwritten thank you cards was like a big deal to me. But then the one I got, it, I found out so soon after I hadn't even had a chance to like send the card yet or whatever. And I'm trying to remember the second round of one. I know I had it, but I honestly don't. It's been a long time. I don't even remember the differences or what.
Yeah. I mean, I think every school is kind of different on what they're doing. Like sometimes we found it differently at the school that I was worked at, like depending on who the principal was. Sometimes the principal and like department head would do the first interview and then the second interview would be like with the whole team of counselors or vice versa. Like the principal's like, I don't need to sit in all the first screening interviews. Y'all as a team interview everyone and then I'll do the final, would you be a good fit for our school kind of thing. And I do think it's important to get some FaceTime in an interview with the counselor or counselors at the school if you can. Because, I mean, all the principals I've ever worked for, even though if they have meant well, they don't know what questions to ask a counselor. Like, they're used to hiring teachers. And so, I mean, they're asking the things like, are you going to work the extra hours? Are you going to be the test coordinator? Like, things that they want filled, but aren't necessarily, like, school counseling related. So I think it's, like, really helpful to get some time with someone who has some counseling experience.
Now that you say that, I feel like I was never interviewed by counselors.
That's crazy. Like you have no idea what the school is going to be like then in terms of like counseling.
HR director and the principal was who interviewed me for the job I ended up getting. And then I like never saw the HR director again.
And you like hope that they know something about counseling when they're interviewing you.
Right, right. One time, I shared this on our previous episode, I had a student-led interview.
Oh, that's cool. I kind of remember you saying that.
In high school, yeah. That was kind of cool. I think the counselor might have been in on that one. It was like a panel.
Yeah. And maybe just some like encouragement of not to be intimidated by a setting like that. I think of how many we did during Zoom, like during COVID times on Zoom with like the person would come on the interview and we are like Brady Bunch of like screen images on there muting and unmuting when we're asking questions. Like that would be really intimidating, but it's a great opportunity for you to see like, would I get along with these people? Would I enjoy working with these people? And if it's an in-person thing, sometimes the second interview is just kind of like showing you around and introducing you to people and seeing how you respond and interact with them, because it might just be like, would you be a good fit for our team?
Right. Did you do second interviews on both ends?
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to think of like what my interview. No, I think at the place that I worked the whole time, I think my interview was with the principal and department head. But after that, like, I think as a team, we really spoke up and said, hey, we would like really value like all getting to have some impact in who is hired and like ask some questions and get to talk about it together as a team, because we really were moving in a direction that felt like, hey, we're a team. We have certain roles that we need filled and stuff. And it helped everybody kind of function as one. So on the inside, I would say we kind of transitioned to doing a second one of the interviews. Like there would always be two if we were inviting people back and we would let them chat with everyone.
Yeah, I love that, especially for a team of counselors. That's so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't imagine, not meeting the teams.
Yeah. So what would you say to someone like when they get to the end of an interview? Because like maybe we're getting to the end of this interview. When you say, do you have any questions for us? Like what kinds of things do you ask? Or are you like, nope, you answered all my questions. Don't have anything.
Yeah, I think you should always have a question prepared. You could ask them, you know, what their favorite part about their job is, why they like working there.
Those are things that I would say. Like you want to get a feel. I know like beggars can't be choosers sometimes when you're just like, I want a job, but to get a feel for like why people like working there. I want to enjoy where I'm working and enjoy the people I'm working with and that kind of stuff. So I think that's a great question to ask.
Yeah. No, I think I would ask that too. And then it can get you excited and it kind of makes them self-reflect as you're on that end of the interviews. Has anyone ever asked you a question that you didn't have an answer for?
Oh, I'm sure. The being the person asking the questions, that is more familiar to me right now. But I think
in that scenario
yeah.
as a counselor at the end when you're like, do you have any questions? Have they asked something? And then you're like,
if they're like super technical, like what percent of your students are this demographic or free introduced lunch? I mean, in the high school, you kind of know that stuff because you're putting it on college stuff. But I'm trying to think if it was like, maybe, and I wouldn't feel like stumped. Like I was like, I have no idea. Not something right. I came prepared for. It's like no skin off my back. But like, I mean, not a, what do you hate most about this job? And then that's awkward or something. Like right. You never get an awkward question there.
Right. Can you share, as the person who did the interviews, what is one like a cringeworthy, mm-hmm. funny, to wrap this up?
I had someone who came late to an interview one time and like didn't call. I mean, and then came in really disheveled. Like I was in traffic, I was driving from somewhere. And I'm like, I get that. Like things happen, but didn't let anyone know. So there were a lot of us like sitting around a table, just like waiting. They just like didn't acknowledge that they came in really late. I was like,
did they have coffee? Tell me they had a coffee.
I can't remember. No, but they had like big portfolio of stuff. Yeah, yeah. Like read, they like were, you could tell, like, I feel bad. Like they were obviously disheveled, like,
right.
And then very nervous, like thrown off for the rest of the interview because they right. were like, where are my things? They couldn't get settled. And I was like, I just yeah. like feel for you in that moment.
Yeah.
But also like, let's acknowledge like that you got stuck in traffic or you got lost or you didn't know where to park. Like
right.
all that stuff is really stressful. I get it.
I think I would be like, take a few moments to get through
things. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Or like, even as the person, I'd be like, hold on, I just need a second. Like yeah. I hate that feeling for somebody right. when you can tell they don't know the answer to this question. It's personal to them. Like, I'm not telling you your answer is right or wrong, but like they can't think of anything. Like their mind has gone mm-hmm. blank. I'm like, just take a second, girl. You got this.
Right, right. That's so hard to watch. Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, but and then like Zoom versus in person. It's like, how do you not be awkward on computer with people right. you don't know in a setting that's really tense anyway. Like, oh, right. you talk. No, you mute. Oh, this is so right. weird. It's like, yeah, we true. Were given, I feel like we had to give people grace, like on both ends of that. Like there's technical issues, there's noise in the background, there's whatever. But I mean, I'm sure people are still doing like round one mm-hmm. of Zoom interviews just to make it more efficient and stuff. So maybe we've gotten used to that and you can build your confidence with each one that you do.
How many people do you feel like you interviewed before you would select? Did it vary all the time or just curious?
Probably depends on like how much time we have and like the quality of candidates that we had or how many applicants there were that we were narrowing down to begin with.
Yeah.
Like maybe, I mean, like how much we had time for? Maybe 5 or 10. I mean, that feels like a lot, but
if you were planning on doing 5,
mm-hmm.
but then, well, I guess you wouldn't cancel the interviews. Like, or if you have a stack of resumes and then the second person's just like amazing, do you just go for it or do you continue to interview other
continue,
people?
I think. Like the resumes that stand out, you like give them those interviews, especially if you've like, okay, you go through the resumes. These are our 5 best ones. We're going to interview them and see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we would have gone to like back to the stack, but I think for the most part, like you can really tell like just by screening resumes who's going to be a decent or like standout person, which like that just shows how much like that first impression of the resume gives to get you just right. that interview.
How do you feel about like photo on a resume?
I don't like it. I don't yeah. like, I want to, you know, I told you I'm going to go like find you on social media or LinkedIn or something
right.
probably, but like let my curiosity do that. Don't like, I don't want to judge a person by like what
right.
they look like, if they're old or young. Like, I don't want that. I want to like look at your skills and be like, this right. is the right person for the job. So
I always had a very traditional looking resume, but I know like with Canva and stuff now, mm-hmm. there is, you know, opportunity to have these like pretty templates to stand out. So I was just curious if you thought that was a good call or to stick with tradition.
Yeah. I mean, I think make it easy to read. Like, I think you can make it stand out in ways that like look professional still. I'm not saying like putting your picture on it is unprofessional, but again, I just like don't, I want to judge someone on the resume, like based on their skills and their experiences and being like, okay, do they have like the basic things? They have a degree in school counseling so that they could do this
right.
job, and have they worked in a school before or in an internship or whatever? I just think it can work against you in some ways. Like I have seen this a lot with like counselors who are like retirement age and, you know, they have some insecurities of like mm-hmm. a district would have to pay me more or something because I have all these years of experience.
Oh, right.
Like, I mean, I guess you can figure that out by like the years that they worked or you
right.
know, how many years of experience they had or something. But I don't know. I just, that would take up like valuable space on your resume too. Like right. if you're trying to fill it with words, there's like not even enough room. What am I going to put my little picture on there?
Yeah, no, I agree. I love it. Well, this is so fun. I love when we get to chat.
I know. I hope people like this episode as much as they like the other one. I think this was fun and gave some insight into the interviewing process and hopefully gave some encouragement to people as they are heading into interview season.
Definitely. And we're going to air it on both podcasts.
Yep. Sounds good.
Awesome. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks, Rachel.
If this episode was helpful for you, I want to make sure you grab the 3-part video series that'll further help you think through some interview questions. Go to counselorclick.com/interview to grab that. Next, if you already have the job and you're thinking, what do I do next? I want you to get yourself the High School Counselor Kickstart audio course. It's an 8-episode private podcast, which means you get special access to this series that walks you through exactly what to do now that you got the job. I have a workbook, templates, some awesome bonuses, just really a helpful step-by-step guide for what to do after you nail that job. I've linked it in the show notes, but you can also get it by going to counselorclick.com/new counselor because hey, that's you. You're a new high school counselor now. I hope you find this episode and that video series a huge resource to help you in the interview process as you embark on your new journey of being a high school counselor. See you next week. Thanks for listening to today's episode of High School Counseling Conversations. All the links I talked about today can be found in the show notes and also at counselorclick.com/podcast. Be sure to hit follow wherever you listen to your podcast so that you never miss a new episode. Connect with me over on Instagram. Feel free to send me a DM at counselorclick. That's CLIQUE. I'll see you next week.